It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939.
Well, that's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
Yep, sure is. Yep.
Alabama Pipe and Supply and Ed Seafood Chef.
And Tabby the Seafood Chef. Yes.
Good food. Good people.
Great people, too. You know, that's awesome. And, hey, you know, Panini P won the chef, you know, best chef in the Nappy Awards. Squid Ink got the, you know, the, I think the best menu or the types of different types of food that is available. And then we had
I think during the last show we talked about them, you know.
Oh, yeah, they did all
being good at playing with their food. So
they
definitely don't mind mixing it up a little bit, for sure.
There you go.
Looks like we do have a caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Yeah, man, appreciate you taking my call.
Hey, how you doing today?
Pretty good. I got a question.
All right.
My son, he stays in Huntsville.
Yeah.
He got a Dodge Challenger at 3.6. He got two jobs. That gas killing him.
Yep.
But he bought an 03 Toyota Camry with 147,000 miles on it. And the mechanic told him, he say, it appears to be a good buy. He only paid $2,200 for it.
Right.
But this is my question. One of the motor mounts going to need to be replaced. And he needs a gasket for the oil pan.
Right.
Which a set of tires, which is not bad.
Right.
But as a preventive maintenance, if you was him, would you just go and put a serpentine belt on, whether it's good or not, or a top and bottom radiator hose, or just wait till you really need it? What do you think?
I would have them inspected, for one. First off, you probably don't know whether they've been done or not, you know, because you don't know the maintenance history of the vehicle. But with 150,000 miles, you know, it really depends. You know, somebody may have taken it somewhere and had all that done somewhere along the line. But I would have it inspected. If it doesn't have oil getting on the belts, they're probably okay. You know, we just don't, with a serpentine belt set up, we really don't have complete failures of the belts like we used to with the V-drive belt, unless a water pump locks up or it gets oil on it or, you know, a tensioner goes bad, something along those lines. So, you know, I wouldn't be too worried about it leaving me on the side of the road as long as everything gets checked.
Yeah, it's going to be a work car.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is the last question. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a Toyota dealership in Huntsville, just like Spring Hill Toyota.
Right.
And it was a sticker on the car. You think if he took it there, they could give him the service that's been done on that car by the previous owner?
They should be able to tell him basically whatever's been done there.
Right.
You know,
at that dealership.
It'd be worth the trip over there to see. Yeah.
Okay, then. Okay. He got an appointment there. Get his oil change on Thursday at 4 p.m. So I told him, check the computer to see if they see the lady that owned it, had the service there and the record of it.
Well, you know, and it may be worth his while to go ahead and let him do an inspection of the car while it's there.
He's going to do that too. Yeah, I told him.
Yeah, because I mean they're the people that know the car best. Okay,
yeah,
you know, they that's the kind of car they sell and service. So they know the common issues and they know what to look for. So
is this a good sign? When he test drove, he went on the highway and got back to 90 and it didn't shake at all.
Yeah,
is that a good sign?
Well, if you made it back, yeah. I mean, it tells me that, you know, basically it's probably pretty sound.
And when he told me about the one. The guy told me he might need a motor mount on it. So I guess it's four of them on that one. It ain't going to hurt it if it take a week or two to get that replaced, will it?
No, it's probably fine. You know, it's, you know, and it doesn't surprise me that it needs a motor mount, you know.
Yeah.
You have motor mounts on the front and back and then usually one on either end. and the front and the back motor mounts take the most beating because that's where the torque of the motor, you know, is dampened.
You say of the upper motor mount, I don't know where that's at.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the like what they call a torque strut.
Okay.
So that's probably not that big a deal, you know. So.
All right.
But it should be good.
See,
I mean,
he wasn't listening to me when he got that old 3.66 cylinder when he could have got him old 2.44 cylinder somewhere. He wasn't listening to me at first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But he's listening now. Thank you, Hill.
Yeah. All right. You're welcome.
All right.
But, yeah, that's the kids don't ever listen to the dad until they figure out for themselves.
Well, maybe
he did know what he's talking about.
Yeah. So. Well, they usually recognize that when they get their own kids and their own kids don't listen to
right.
them.
Right.
Then they go, well, I'll be damned. My dad was right.
Daddy wasn't quite so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's kind of like when I went off in the Marine Corps, man. You know, wide-eyed and bushy-tail, 18-year-old. Mm-hmm. I went to the Marine Corps and went to boot camp and then infantry training and all. In there for 3 or 4 months and got a chance to come home and got some time off. And I asked Mama, I said, Mama, when did y'all have time? She said, what do you mean? And Daddy said, what you talking about, boy? I said, when did y'all have time to, go to school? What you talking about? I said, well, when I left here, I said, y'all was the dumbest parents that I've ever seen in my life. And so now I come back and I said, I realize, you know, you guys weren't as dumb as I thought you were, and you were really smart. Mm-hmm. He said, boy, I tried to tell you that before, you wouldn't listen. Yes, sir. I understand now, Pop.
So yeah. You're right. One of us got an education.
Yeah.
And I ain't going to say it was me.
No, I wasn't going back down.
Right.
No,
they had
been going to night school or something,
right.
You know,
something.
While I was gone.
Yeah, something. But I tell you, it's. It definitely works that way for sure. But I know, we've been covered up at work.
Well, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. This is, it seems like now that we've gotten out of the COVID deal and we were able to get out and get a chance to move around all it, and Lord, I pray that it doesn't come back with the figures I'm hearing today. On the people that's been diagnosed with the COVID, and it's up 300% here and 400% there, and you know, and it's just unbelievable. The people wanting to get out and get ready, and we don't have a lot of new cars for sale.
No.
What are you seeing in the shop? I mean, what kind of work are you seeing?
It's,
stuff that people have been putting off, or?
No, I mean, it's basically just your basic repair work, but yeah, you know, we have seen more. People repairing cars that they normally would have traded in.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So
that's what kind of where I was going with that.
They're not out there right now. But we do have a caller online. Let's go there and we'll get back to this story. But caller, you with us? Hello. Hello, caller. I hear you there.
They can call back.
Yep. Caller, why don't you call back after our break here? It's I hear your radio playing in the background, but I don't hear you. But give us a call back after we go to break.
You're going to the bathroom,
but
or get another cold one.
Yeah,
one of them adult beverages.
Exactly. Anyway, it's really, you know, of course this time of year we have air conditioning problems. We have cooling system problems. We have tires, you know, going bad. We have
heat,
you know,
induced.
Heat-induced problems.
Heat-induced problems, okay.
Which, you know, you have your seasonal work. It's that way every year. But we've really seen more this year as far as workload than we've seen in the past. And I've got to attribute it to the fact that people can't buy a new car. You know, they're still coming in. I had to ask a question the other day. I was listening to the radio, and I won't call out the dealer that's not really local, but they advertise here. But and it's a GM dealer, and they were advertising that they had 300 new cars on the way coming in. It's like,
ooh.
It's like, yeah, I'm calling BS on this one.
Yeah,
because I know that is not a fact.
Right, right.
But you got to think, talking to our. Owner and that, and it was like, yeah, you know, he can get away with that because eventually he will get 300 cars in. Yeah. You know,
sometime between the end of the year, maybe
now and next year, sometime.
Yeah, and maybe even in the next year, as you say. Yeah,
but I promise you, he does not have.
He don't have new ones. He don't have them on a lot
soon.
Right, and he don't have 300 on the way to him.
Right,
he might have 300 ordered.
Exactly, you can do.
Yeah,
do that.
Order that now.
You ain't gonna see him anytime soon. But they're still coming in. We're actually getting some in. We've got more in inventory right now than we've had, you know, in the last month or so. But it's still they're pretty well sold when they hit the ground, deal. But we're still moving them and we're still getting them in. But anyway, come see us at UJ. But we're gonna take a break and let you see hear from our fine sponsors, and we'll be back.
Why my daddy didn't spend a little time at home instead of running around the country that away. Whoa, I'm looking at the world through a windshield, and I see everything in a little bit different light. I got a sweet little thing I'm wanting to see in Nashville, and I'm down around Dallas.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But anyway, we're just talking a little bit about inventory and challenges there. We're actually keeping a pretty good used inventory still in stock. You know, we're doing well there. Our new inventory is still lacking a little bit, but we're still keeping trucks and cars moving through there.
Well, they're still having trouble getting some of those chips produced.
Yeah, and that's an issue, and it's getting better. Hopefully they'll get things going, but it'll be the end of the year before it gets any better. And this is for everybody. It's not just us. I know Chevrolet or GM had a recall on some of the bolts, the 17 to 19 bolts, I think, on their battery issues. Some of them catching fire, I believe. But I know Ford had, I think they just released the largest recall in history here not too long ago, this past week sometime, for and don't make me lie, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it I think it was suspension problems on some of their trucks.
General Motors had some cars recall for batteries or something on electric.
Well, that was the bolt.
Bolt.
That was the bolt. Yeah, bolt with a B.
B-O-L-T, yeah. Not V-O-L-T.
Yeah, right. The Volt is our older hybrid. The Bolt is our full electric vehicle. But it's always interesting to try and keep up with what's going on. But
This Ford recall, what I just pulled up on Google, is Ford issued a safety recall for 34,939 2020 and 2021 Ford F-350s.
Yeah.
Now that's the that's a one-ton truck, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Super Duty vehicles containing a 6.7 liter engine and a single rear wheel axle due to a deformed rear axle. So there's something happened to the axle in the mold, which is they probably didn't make that. Could have been made by another.
Yeah, I'm not sure who makes theirs. There's several different differential manufacturers, but it's just like the Takata airbag. I mean, GM, Ford, BMW, Chrysler, none of them actually made them. But guess what? You're still responsible for it when it hits your product. So
well, then they have another recall. Certain 2020-21s and F-150s, 2020 and 21, F-250s, F-350s, F-450s, and F-550s Super Duty vehicles during manufacturing, the windshield may not have been properly secured. It wasn't properly bonded to the vehicle, allowing it to maybe detach in a crash.
Right.
We've talked about that on the show before where the windshield is actually an important part of the structural design of all of cars as well as pickup trucks now.
Right. It's part of the is part of the structure, you know, component of the vehicle.
It's not something you can't just put a windshield in there and put a sealant in there that will stop the water from getting in the vehicle and our air right. coming out. You've got to use the proper sealant that glues that to that component and makes it an integral part of the vehicle.
Right.
And therefore it becomes a stress factor, a stress reliever.
Yeah, you know, and the big part of the problem they've had with those is, you know, they'll paint the vehicle, then put the primer and the urethane down to put the windshield in. Well, that bond is only as good as that paint to the primer that's
right,
on the cab.
Right.
So they've actually backed up and quit painting part of that, part of the flange there where the pinch weld is, where the body's put together, and the windshield glues down. So you're gluing straight to the metal. That is, you know, it does have a coating on it, but it doesn't have the paint on it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So there's no paint to delaminate in a wreck right. or something but that to hold
that,
it in.
That coating that's on there will help it bond to the metal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the way that's designed.
But we did have a text message here. Is it okay to put a P passenger rated tire on a trailer rim? Depends on what you're doing. You know, first off, if you've got a little...
Yeah, you can do it.
If you got a little utility trailer and all you're doing is moving your lawnmower around or
something like that,
you know, no problem, okay? If you've got a car trailer that you're going to be toting a 3,000 or 4,000-pound vehicle around on,
I
would not recommend it. I've seen it done a million times.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
And done it myself.
I've seen them on the side of the road, too.
Right, but even on a like our enclosed car trailer, we actually run a 16-ply tire on our car trailer because what originally came with was a 10-ply.
Right.
We stepped up and put a 12-ply on it, and we were still having issues because we got a pretty heavy trailer.
Right, right.
And the 16-ply tires has pretty well cured that, you know. It's just a... You know, by the time we put our race car without anybody sitting in it is probably 2,600 pounds.
Right, okay.
We got a pit car that weighs 2,500 pounds.
Well, it weighs as much as the car does.
Right. The trailer itself is a well-built trailer. It's a steel frame trailer instead of an aluminum frame trailer.
Right.
So it's not light. Then we got all the stuff that we got stuffed in cabinets and all that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, spare rims and spare components, transmissions, and motor pieces or anything that you got that you think might need to fix the vehicle to get it back in the race for the feature. Then, you could have 15,000 pounds on that thing.
Right. Well, it's car, truck, trailer loaded down like you're going to the racetrack is probably. I think it's somewhere around 30,000 pounds.
Woo!
Yeah, which I know is a little overweight. But it's
look at you, man. You're not on lightweight to start with.
That wasn't with me sitting.
You're overweight.
So, and I get around okay, too, so that's all right. But it's, you just got to make sure you're using the tire that,
right,
that is going to live up to what you're doing.
Yeah.
Most passenger car tires are not rated for the kind of weight that a trailer a larger trailer will use. One of your little utility trailers that, like I say, you're hauling, four or 500 pounds around.
Trash to the dump or something? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, not a problem. But even like a boat trailer or something like that, they're taking a pretty good load too.
Right.
So be careful what you put on because it's just not worth breaking down on the side of the road and having to deal with that.
Well, in that regards also, be careful and not put a used passenger tire on there that's already 6, 7, 8, 10 years old, and it's already got some dry rot in the sidewalls and what have you. So UV rays have been eating it up. So, you're just looking for a potential problem there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Let's see. I have another text here. I have a 2018 Chevy Premier with 64,000 miles on it. Keeps the oil chains, but I don't know what other services it needs. Can you help me out? Car runs good, but I have noticed that my front windshield, front window is frosting up this summer. You know, if it's frosting up, first off, you're going to get a little bit of air out of the upper vents. There's, depending on which vehicle this is, you know, say it's a Chevy Premier, but we have a Premier is actually a level of several different vehicles that we sell. So I don't know exactly which vehicle we're talking about. But, you know, the if it's severe, I mean, if it's in the morning and you've got your air on, it's getting a little bit of moisture at the bottom of the windshield, probably nothing to worry about. If it's covering the windshield and making an issue, that's a different story. You're probably getting too much air up top. So we need to try and figure out if there's something not sealing properly. As far as the maintenance goes, there's other things. Of course, you know, I'm a big fan of going ahead and rotating the tires every time you get the oil changed. You want to, of course, check your brakes and do the basic checks on it. Depending on the vehicle, brake fluid should probably be flushed every 3 years, I believe it is now. The transmission fluid should be done probably every 40 to 50,000. There's other things, but the key thing is always go back to the owner's manual because there is a maintenance schedule in there. And it pretty well maps out what needs to be replaced or checked on a mileage based interval.
Yeah.
So the owner's manual is always a good thing to keep around with you to that way you know.
Can't you get an owner's manual? Well, maybe off of internet or something if you need to.
You can if you need to, or you know, on an 18 model we can probably still get one.
Okay.
You know, some of the older stuff we can't. The car's an Equinox, which it's basically what I'm driving for demo. I'm driving a 2020 model, but my wife drives an 18. And really, you know, you see a little bit of a little bit of fogging at the bottom of the windshield right by the defrost vents. If it's really humid out, you know, it's just kind of a product of that. But if it's doing much more than that, you probably do need to get it checked, you know. And like I say, just look at your owner's manual and it'll walk you through what needs to be done. But sounds like we've come up to a break here. I'm going to let you hear from our sponsors and we'll be back.
Doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle. I'm Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. We were talking about recalls here just a little while ago, and you know, of course, the best place to check to see if your car is under recall would be to call the dealer and get them to give them your VIN number, and they can check and see if your particular car is under recall for anything. You know, because you see it on the internet, it is not necessarily true. Okay, now I'm sure there's recalls that are on similar vehicles to yours, but yours may not fall under all the criteria that it meets.
Yeah,
and you won't be able to tell that.
Right.
So
you need to, they need that VIN number.
Right. They need the VIN number to check
your car.
Exactly. Exactly. So you know it's all about VIN specific concerns anyway.
Now,
so
you said General Motors. Now can you call any General Motors dealership?
Well, any General Motors dealership can tell you whether you
have access to that.
Yes.
Okay.
And Ford and Lincoln, same deal. You know, of course, Toyota and all the manufacturers.
Right.
You know, I'm sure any Chrysler dealership can tell you whether you have a Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge.
You didn't have to buy the vehicle there.
No. Yeah. They'll tell you.
Yeah. Let's say you bought the vehicle in Mississippi and you moved here And now you're just wondering what, if there's any recalls on your vehicle.
Right, right. You know, and the manufacturers track you by your registration, you know, as to if, say, if you've moved and you have a vehicle that you brought with you, if you're worried about not receiving notification because you've moved, if you've registered your vehicle, they'll know where to send.
Okay, through your tags.
Right.
Okay.
Not to mention the, if you've had your vehicle serviced at, say, our dealership and you request us to be your servicing dealer, then, you know, we'll have notification as well, you know, so we can reach out to you if there's something that pops up. Because they send us lists of recalls all the time.
Well, I know some vehicles actually, it comes up on your dash on your car. Didn't BMW have something that flashed on their dash and when they needed an oil change?
They do for maintenance stuff.
Preventative maintenance.
For preventative maintenance, they do, but they don't on recalls.
Right.
But when you go into, say, a BMW dealership and GM as well, BMW uses a key reader system that when you put your key in it, it tells you, you know, what maintenances are due and what recalls are due and all that. And General Motors uses a VIS system, which basically when we hook to it, it gives us a printout of any recalls and warranty history and all that kind of stuff and warranty information, as well as ours actually gives us, you know, trouble codes right there on the write-up sheet as well. So,
okay.
So it's they all use a little different system, but you know, basically they all can look at that and okay. see. But I see all the time people, well, I saw where such and such car, you know, has a recall for this. Well, no, not necessarily. Yours doesn't fall under that, you know. Or they just thought it had a recall because, you know, they saw it on the news or whatever. So it's always, you always have to check it and see what's
right. And you got that, you need that VIN number.
Exactly. You know, because we can't do any kind of repairs, recall related, unless your car fits that VIN. You know, they won't pay for it. You know, they won't pay for it. But you know, it's always good to check, and that's one thing we check every time we ride a vehicle up as to whether there's recalls or that on it. And you know, there's several different things you can look at on our write-up stuff. Is, yes, there's a recall. There's also something called special policies. Special policy is not a recall. It is a, and where people, they get notifications on a special policy adjustment for the warranty on, say, cam actuator or whatever it is. Some of them are like wiper transmissions and that kind of stuff. Just because you got a letter, if you read that letter, it tells you if you are having an issue with this component, bring it in and it will be covered up to this time and this mileage. But that doesn't mean bring it in and we'll fix it or replace those components before you're having a problem. Yeah. Where a recall, you bring it in and we check it. If it's viable on your vehicle, we go ahead and do whatever repair it says to do to that vehicle at that time. So, yeah, we get it back quite a bit. People misunderstand what a special policy is on a specific component and bring it in thinking that that component's going to get replaced now, whether they're having a problem or not.
Well, I don't think that I haven't heard a whole lot of information about that special policy deal there. In regard, even over all the years that we've been doing radio,
mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that the public is not aware of all that. So if I had a General Motors vehicle and I got a letter in there and it said something about something's wrong on there, some part of something on there, I really wouldn't spend a lot of time reading that.
Right.
I would say I would think I got a recall. I got to take my car in.
Right. Right. And we have to explain that quite often. You know. Because it has to, you know, it has to fit the criteria of the special policy, you know, and it has to be a failed item at this time, you know.
Do some of those relate to mileage figures too?
They do. They do.
If you reach this just, mileage, it's
and to give an example, the 14 to we'll call it 18 model trucks have a mechanical vacuum pump that is belt driven off the crankshaft.
Okay.
To operate the brakes. And the pumps, we've been having some issues with the pumps. So they have, you know, and it's covered under the base warranty of the vehicle. But they have actually put a special policy on that component to where if it fails in, I think it's 10 years or 150,000 miles, that it's covered.
So they're extending
a warranty on a component.
Okay.
Is basically what that means. Yeah, they know. Okay, we've got a problem with this, and not all of them are failing. But let's, you know, increase your warranty to a point where
a longer point. Of time.
And you know, at that point, you know, eventually you take ownership of your own car and all the parts of it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you know, warranty's not going to cover it forever.
Right.
So you get 10 years, 150,000 miles down the road. It should be yours at that point, you know. So,
well, a lot of dealers are quit making parts for them after 10 years old now. Anyway,
well, you know, and we have issues at times that you know people bring us vehicles that are quite a bit past that 10-year point, and we don't put a hard line at 10 years. We're more along the lines of we're going to look at the vehicle and see what kind of shape it's in, and if parts are available,
right.
And we still have the special tools and the expertise to work on it, then we're okay with working on it.
Right.
You know, if we have a pre 86 model vehicle, it's going to be an OBD1 vehicle, and if it's got a check engine light, we're out. We I have nothing in the building that'll read OBD1 information.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a hard enough time keeping our 96 and up stuff,
right.
You know, working.
Well, a lot of independents have that capability, though.
And they do, because they work on a lot of older stuff.
A lot of the independent shops that have got some of the older diagnostic equipment around would be the ones that have to work on that.
Right.
And that's 86, wasn't it?
86, yeah. I mean, and, you know, actually 96, I'm sorry, was when they changed it to
it was 96?
96
okay.
Was when they mandated everything go to OBD2. There was a few vehicles that went there before that, but I don't know if anything went there much before about 94. Every once in a while we'll see something in the 98, 99 range, but very rarely do we get back much older than that. And if it is, it's something that it's a special case, and if we take it in to work on, you know, it's a special case. It's not something we normally touch, you know. So, you know.
Well, I think it's just neat as hell. It's nobody in Mobile's got any broken down cars or any car problems.
Yeah, yeah, very few apparently tonight.
Yeah.
So,
maybe after 40 years, we fixed all.
I don't believe it because I know I got a shop full right now.
You got a shop full.
Yeah, I got a shop full. And everybody I've talked to has got a shop full. So it's
I talked to Scotty the other day over at my old shop, and he said, Tom, you wouldn't believe it. I said, what do you mean? He said, man, we got cars just lined up. He said, I'm booked. I said, what do you mean you're booked? He said, I'm booked for the month.
Yeah.
He said, and I hope I can get them out.
Right, right. And that's where, you know, a lot of people have been. I saw one of the local dealers here actually told someone it would be 2 weeks before they could touch an oil change.
What?
Yeah. So I was a little surprised at that. But,
yeah.
You know, yeah. It's just tells me that they're either very shorthanded or they just absolutely have more than they can do. You know, it's
undoubtedly.
You know, and we're scheduled out, and we're – you know, we're trying to get most of our appointments or all of our appointments at least looked at during the day that they're brought in for their appointment. We do a pretty good job of that. But as far as finishing everything every day, no, that's not happening.
That's not happening anymore.
But it's we're keeping up way better than not, we're killing ourselves, but we're keeping up, you know, better than
you know what you know what this whole conversation tells me, though, Kev, and I don't think a lot of people have stopped to think about it, is that when this, I don't even know what we would call it, but this time or this period into, let's say, February, March of next year, when we start getting all the new cars in, and all of these cars that's got all this work done on them are going to be traded in.
Right.
Used cars, you know, for the people out there that are looking for a used car, are going to get a better maintained vehicle than we have seen in the past. Because normally if you start having a bunch of problems with a used car, well, I'm going to trade it in, you know.
Right. Right.
But then if you don't get the proper dealership, somewhere where they go and check everything and bring it all up to code, right, and then repair it, then you wind up with having to do all the repairs.
Exactly.
So I think that'll be one of the things later on down the road next year or so.
Mm-hmm.
The cars are going to be in better shape when we go to buy a used vehicle.
Yeah, and I believe that. You know, it's you know, people are just having to keep their stuff up and keep them maintained, keep them going, and at least till this gets passed. So you know, it's they're going to be in better shape for sure.
Amen. But, I just hope there's a lot of us left around.
Yeah, exactly.
This COVID don't take us all out.
I heard that. But anyway, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we will be back.
Straightening the curves, yeah. Flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remco along with Tom Clash. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Anyway, like I said, we've been talking about a lot of different stuff and trying to keep your car maintained and everything. But, you know, it's maintenance has always been key on keeping these things in one piece anyway.
Right.
You know,
totally. Proper maintenance.
Proper maintenance. And
just not fixing it because it broke.
Right. You know, just, yeah, you know, drive it till it falls and then pick it back up and go again. No, that's not exactly what you need to do. You know, and it's no fun breaking down on the side of the road, so the better you maintained you keep it, the less likely that is to
happen.
At this
day and time, I don't want to be down on the side of the road for anything.
No.
Period.
No, not at all. Not at all. So, you know, it's, I don't know, it's hard to say, but, you know, if you bring your car, I still like taking it to a dealer. If you got an older car, it's fine. Independent shops, you know, there's a place for them. They do a good job. There's a lot of good independent shops.
We Scotty, always
Scotty been living. Around for a long time and does a good job down there.
Oh, yeah. Well, Scotty was with me for 17 years, and then he's been in shop now for himself for 21 years. So that's 38 years he's been in the same location.
And was at dealerships. Well, he had his own place before
that.
He had
his own place prior to that, but then he was a dealership tech, you know, certified tech prior to that.
Before that, so, which just kind of adds up to the fact that he's getting kind of old, you know, think about it. But,
he's trying to work it out to get to that retirement point.
Yeah, what happens, so, Scotty's a good guy. I've always liked Scotty, but does a good job, and he's he'll treat you right. You know, there's so many places that don't, and that's one of my pet peeves in this business is places taking advantage of people, and I see it way too often. Yeah, you know, it's
and they're still doing it today. I had a chance to look it up underneath of a truck the other day that it was charged $2,200 to do a bunch of front end work on, and I mean, you could look at the parts and tell where they come from.
Right, right.
And then you're talking about replacing upper and lower ball joints and the tie rod ends and things of that nature. Where when you on the aftermarket, you get a grease fitting with them.
Right.
They didn't even put the grease fittings in.
Right, right.
You know, and then it didn't reline the front end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and charged a man that kind of money.
Right.
And told him he was getting a great job.
Yeah. Didn't finish the work.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's just total damn ripoff.
And there are such things as sealed ball joints that don't have to be greased.
Oh, yeah, there's some. Yeah, but those are really high-dollar jobs.
Well, and those are okay to put on there and not grease, okay?
Right.
But
some of them come from the factory that way now.
Right, and most of them are.
Yeah.
But if you have a joint that takes a grease fitting, you better grease it when you put it together.
You better.
Because it comes to you pretty much dry.
Mm-hmm.
And it will not live any length of time.
I mean, here you go. This is what they did to this guy's truck.
Yeah.
And
you'd like to sit here and call these people out. You know, you can't do it.
I'd like to throw some names around, you know, but we can't do it, and we're not going to do it. But they, you know, in every industry's got a problem child too, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, and I've even seen it out of some dealerships. Never going to say that anybody's perfect, but I do know that. Trust me, if that's brought to my attention at my place,
it's gonna be fixed. Well, it's always always been that way.
Yeah,
and in any dealership, you've ever been in, and you've probably trained 500 technicians in Mobile, so those guys they know the ritual and they know the score and they know that it's supposed to be done right, and you know and Scott and I was talking about it the other day, I just don't like comebacks.
Right.
And, you know, we were talking about the race car tires in Pensacola this past weekend. Drivers are all complaining about the tires. They go back to the tire manufacturer, and he said, well, there's not enough time between the time we manufacture them and the time they run. Wait a minute.
Right.
You made the tire, and you released the tire, and you released it to the tracks to sell to the racers.
Mm-hmm.
The tire is supposed to be right.
Right.
If it didn't have enough time between the point of production and curing to the time of racing, you shouldn't have released it.
Right. Well, you know, and I've seen issues this year, and you know the tire builders for race car tires are having the same problem that everybody else is having in this country. One, materials.
Right.
Two, personnel to get it done, and racing has actually kind of taken off this year. The car counts have been good. The people are going and looking for something.
Right,
to do.
Looking for something to do, man. We've been boxed up here for a year.
So, but you know, even our track promoter here in Mobile, she's ordering tires, and tires that would normally take 4 or 5 days to get here, they may take 2 weeks or better.
Ooh.
And they're showing up like the day of the race, even though she's ordered them out 2 weeks ahead of time, and really start sweating it out as to whether we're going to have tires or not.
Oh, I know. I know. Hey, but look, everybody's got problems. I was in a restaurant today and ordered a salad. I'm sorry, we don't have any lettuce. I said, what? I said, yeah, we didn't get our lettuce this morning. Wasn't delivered.
I was going to say, would they have a rabbit break
in
the back door?
They buy, you know, these places, it's got by the volume of foods, they get deliveries early in the morning.
Right.
They get all of their foods, you know, they're bulk delivered.
Yep.
Well, you know, they're having problems getting product.
Well, I mean, they're having trouble finding drivers. They're having trouble, you know, getting the product as well. A friend of mine is trying to do some concrete work. He's been working for about a month trying to get the concrete. Yeah, they don't have drivers to deliver. So they don't.
Well, you know, I can understand. Yeah. Every place you go by, every motel and every restaurant, it's got signs out. We're hiring.
Right.
You know?
Right. You know, and it's everywhere. We're looking for quick service personnel right now. You know, been looking for quick service personnel for almost a year. And it's absolutely killing us. You know, trying to keep up with something we need 4 people doing, and we got 2.
Right.
Unless we got to let someone off, or they take a vacation, or whatever, then it's even down lower than that. So it's what should be pretty cut and dried and not a big deal is turned into a major headache, you know.
Yep.
But, we try and stay on top of it. And, you know, kind of old school, you know, we just do what we have to do to make it happen, you know. But there's only so many hours in the day, you know, that you can get things done. You know?
So true.
You can only force so much in, you know, before you're pushing something else out.
Well, we just
you know?
Pray that this all stuff, you know, COVID stuff goes away, and man, we can overcome this and just be another chapter in our lives and move forward and try to get back to some semblance of order in this country.
Yep. So it's a wouldn't normally go here, but you know, people be careful. It's ramping back up.
Right.
We're having some major issues here in Mobile, you know, with COVID going. So
You
know,
I took another test today.
Yeah.
And I had COVID last July, you know, but I've had five tests since then. But you know.
Right.
I don't want it again.
No. It about beat you last time.
So. Oh, it did. I don't know where I could handle it again.
Right.
You know, and that's my deal.
Well, yeah. And I guess if you have the shot, it's not supposed to be as severe.
Well,
you
know, I'm gonna take the shots, but that shot sure did beat hell out of me this week.
Yep. So,
but
anyway.
Then they hear it again. You go, they said, because I had the COVID so bad before, and I still had all the antibodies and everything in my system. So,
yep.
I got ramped up again when they hit me with that virus.
Exactly. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show and listening to us ramble tonight, but that's okay. We will be back next week and do this all over again.
And for all of our veterans out there, big old hoorah.